The scripture reading this evening will come from James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning."
Great to see everyone this evening. Trust you've had a good afternoon. So today is a day we've been looking forward to for some time. As Mike had mentioned, getting into the class on godliness, we've divided the men and the women and got these classes are started. And it was a great morning. I was really excited about it. I think it went off very, very well. And appreciate everybody's input and all the work that went into that. I am also excited. Four weeks from now, the last week of February, we have a singing school, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, a workshop of sorts, that I hope also you have on your calendar. I'm really excited about this, February the 21st through the 23rd. Friday night, we'll be meeting from about 7 o'clock to 8:15, kind of the same as we would on a Wednesday night, and that is a collective time for everybody to be here. As our instructors, the Raiders, brothers Raider, a father and son duo, will be instructing several things about singing that night and looking forward to that. And then Saturday morning, that would be February the 22nd, Saturday morning, from 9:30 to 11:30, the two-hour window, where they'll be working with guys who lead singing and guys who would like to lead singing and guys who want to know more about leading singing. It's not just for song leaders, but for any of you guys that would be interested in learning more about that, any of us that they can try to help, please be here. That'll be a really exciting time. I'm looking forward to that. And then that Saturday afternoon from 3 to 4:45, again, everybody is invited to be back together, and we'll be kind of learning, a lot of us together, about leading songs, singing, and not leading songs, but how we can harmonize and kind of blend our voices together better. And then, of course, that Sunday, everything looks about the same. Bible class and worship in the morning. And then worship will start at 4:30 that evening, February the 23rd. And so we'll have opportunity to sing some songs together before worship that night, and then also as a part of our worship. Now, if you say, "Adam, I didn't get any of those times," it's okay. It's all going to be in the bulletin this week. So jot it down. But put it on your calendar. Please plan to be here for that. I'm really, really excited about it. You know, God has always been interested in worshiping Him and how we worship Him. You go back to the beginning with Cain and Abel, and is God interested in how he is worshiped? The answer, of course, is yes. He respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And that really upset Cain. But the fact is, God just wasn't going to accept anything that was brought to him. That's true under the patriarchal period. Well, then we move to the Mosaic period. Ask Nadab and Abihu, is God interested in how we worship him? And they would say, yeah, found that out the hard way. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, they brought to God something that he had not commanded, that he had not authorized, and fire came down from heaven and consumed those priests. Is God concerned about worship? Yes. Is he interested in how we worship him? Yes. Is he just going to accept anything that we offer just because we offer it? The answer is no. That was true under the patriarchal period. That was true under the Mosaic period. Is that true under the Christian age? And the answer is yes. I know that because of John chapter 4 and verse number 24. Jesus himself said, looking ahead to the Christian age in the time of the Samaritans, he says, look, there's a time coming to that Samaritan woman when you won't have to worship neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem at the temple. And God is looking ahead to that time of the Christian age. And in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him, catch it, must worship him in spirit and truth. Is God concerned about our worship under the Christian age? And the answer is yes. Yes, he is. And we know that singing is a part of worship. We see that in examples of the New Testament. We see that explicitly stated in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, that we offer to God the fruit of our lips And so we understand that singing is a part of our worship. And so if we can come together and really give good attention to that, because we're interested in offering God our best, aren't we? That's what we want to do. And so if we can come together and give great thought to that, and we can help ourselves to develop in that area even better, then what's wrong with that? I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I also understand that I love to sing, and maybe you don't, that I really enjoy it, and maybe that's just not as much your cup of tea. I grew up playing instruments, and I grew up singing. My mom's side of the family, they would get together, and they would sing. In fact, some people had them record their singing, and they played my mom's side of the family at funerals, singing different songs. It was just a time of singing whenever we got together. I know that that's not true in every home. That's not true in all of your homes. But I'm excited about to sing, and I'm looking forward to this workshop. And there is something in this, I think there will be, for everybody involved. So please plan to come and to be a part of it. So what I've decided to do leading up to that workshop at the end of this month, I will be preaching the next three Sundays, today and the next two Sundays, and tonight and the next two Sunday nights, I want to look at songs. Tonight I want to look at this song, Holding to God's Unchanging Hand. The words are, we've just sung, it's on page number 244. I'll put some words up on the screen. I understand, and you understand, that the writer of this song was not inspired, that the words that are written are not inspired. There are several of the songs that we sing that are inspired because they come directly out of Scripture. And yet, as we sing and as we are encouraged and as we sing these songs of praise to God, these songs help us in our worship. This song tonight has four verses. I want to look at two lessons from each verse, eight lessons in all. I want you to think about this song with me. Now, if you were to travel to the town of West Texas, you have to say that carefully. It's not West Texas. We're West Texas, the town. And you go to the cemetery, you'll find this headstone. This is the headstone, the grave marker of Franklin L. Island. As far as I can tell, he was a brother in Christ, a member of the Lord's Church. The song before us tonight was composed in part by Franklin Island, a brother in Christ. Now, if you got your page open there, you'll notice that there's the words or the name Jenny Wilson. And Jenny Wilson was also responsible for writing some of these words, but it was Franklin Island who took it and put it to music and also helped with some of the words that are written on those pages. Now, I became interested in this particular gravestone, and I'm sorry that I couldn't find it. But I was told that on the gravestone of F.L. Island, there was on it a hand that is carved into the gravestone, and it's a hand that is reaching down. It must be on the back of that gravestone, or what I heard isn't true. If I ever make it to West Texas, if you ever make it to West Texas, and you go to the cemetery and you find it, take a picture and let me know for sure. But we know that this song of his was very special. Now, you've already looked ahead and read some of that on the screen. And so you understand, as I have come to understand, that Franklin Island was born in Mississippi. And he was born on a farm, and evidently he struggled through life. It was a very difficult way of living when he was born and growing up. He only lived to be 49 years old, as you can see. And you notice that he was married three times in his adult life. His first wife, they were married for 9 years, and she passed away. It's not a typo. His second wife, and I don't have any other details to know exactly what happened. I know that you're curious, and so am I, but I don't know what happened. But they were married for only 10 days. And then he was married to his third wife, and she outlived him. And in that span of time, a son was born and a daughter. And his daughter lived for only 10 months, and she passed away. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but that helps me a little bit to think about the one who wrote the words, the one who put music to the words, the one who is responsible for what we have today. And if you have your book open, you'll notice that this song was written and put to music in 1905. He's going to pass away in 1909. So just a few years before he passed away, this song was composed and put to music. And so, again, I'm so thankful that it was, aren't you? I love this hymn. I love the words of this hymn. I like to think about what's going on, and I like to think about the fact that here is a man who knew a lot of pain and heartache in his life. And where did he find stability? Because you and I, we have pain and we have heartache, and we watch our loved ones go through very difficult times. Here's a man who knew pain. And yet, even before his life was over, could come up with these words. I want us to think about those words tonight. I know that they're not inspired, and yet there are great lessons that we can draw from them. And I'm going to give you mine, and you'll come up with yours. But tonight, I hope that this will help us as we think about God with an unchanging hand. As James read for us a moment ago in James chapter 1 and verse number 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That we have a God who never changes. We have a God who is consistently the same. And you and I should take great comfort in that fact. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Here's the first stanza. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Number one, life moves quickly. Time is filled with swift transition. And isn't that true? I don't know if you look in the mirror and think, boy, how did I get here? You ever driven somewhere that you're familiar with, and you take the same route back and forth, and you get to that destination one day, and you wonder, how did I get here? I mean, you were kind of zoned out as you were taking that drive, or you've just driven that route 1,000 times, and you just showed up, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's kind of scary. I don't know how I got here. You ever looked in the mirror and wondered the same? How did I get here? Alan says to me a lot, he said, Dad, you look at an old picture. His dad, you had a lot more hair in that picture. Thank you, Alan. I also didn't have teenagers in that picture. All right, thank you very much. So, you know, it changes. All of a sudden you look up and it changes. Julie will do this from time to time. We've been married for 20 years. And every now and then, I love when she does this. She'll roll over, she'll look at me, and she'll go, Adam, can you believe we're married? And you say, that's a strange thing to say. But, you know, it just doesn't seem like we should be at this point in our lives. Can you believe it? We've been married for 20 years. Can you believe that we've been married long enough that now we have children who are the same age as we were when we met? Can you believe that? Time is filled with swift transition. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in today that we will let that affect everything that's already happened. And sometimes we can allow that even to have an effect on our future. I am so bogged down with my struggles today that I just can't see out of it. And we forget all the blessings that God has given us in our past, and we're forgetting that God has promised to bless us ahead. It's filled with swift transition. You know that, and so do I. But sometimes we can forget it. You know what James had to say in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there. We'll buy and sell and trade and make a profit. Yet you don't know what your life will hold. We like tomorrow, for it's a vapor that appears for a time and then disappears. It vanishes away. Life moves on. So may we not get so caught up in today that we forget about what God has done in the past and we let go of what He's promised to do in the future. I think that's a great line. I really appreciate it. Number two, don't trust in the temporary. You see, these two things, they go together, and this is such a hard lesson, but it is repeatedly taught throughout the Scriptures, isn't it? Don't trust in the temporary. What is ultimately going to happen to all of this around us? You know what's going to happen? It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. And so I know that. I know that I know that. And yet, I can attach myself to the things that are going to burn. And I can detach myself from God's unshakable hand. I want to be careful about this, that God is unchanging. God is not going to shake. And I need to be aware of this. Turn in your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read it for yourself again. Here is Paul writing to Christians, very encouraging words, things that you and I, we need to be reminded of. Christians that have been struggling, Christians that are going through difficult times, they know something about it, we know something about it. And yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Catch it. "For our momentary light affliction is working out for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Time is filled with swift transition, so build your hope on things eternal. Don't get caught up in the temporary. Don't forget what's going to happen to all of this around us. I think that first verse is such an encouraging verse, and it comes from a man who knew a lot about pain. He says, "Listen, time is going to keep moving, so I don't want to put my trust in the temporary, but in the eternal." What a great lesson for us to be reminded of. Verse 2, "Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling." Isn't that powerful? Listen, trust in Him who will not leave you. I know that God is close to you. God is close to me. I know, we looked at this a couple weeks ago in the adult class as we were finishing the book of Mark. And you remember after giving the Great Commission, Jesus says to the disciples, "Lo, I am with you always." And then He adds this phrase, "even to the end of the age." And we discuss that phrase, "to the end of the age." And what are we talking about? To the end of the Christian age. As long as we continue to exist, Jesus says, "I will be with you. I'm not going anywhere. I will be with you even to the end of the age." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, He says, "I will never, ever desert you or forsake you." Now turn over to Acts chapter 17. I'm just reminding us of some great truth tonight that we find in the pages of God's Word. In Acts chapter 17, Paul, as you know, is in the city of Athens, and he's talking to these heathen philosophers, idolaters in the city of Athens, and he's telling them about the one true God. And he says this in verse number 24, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to inhabit all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations." Listen, "that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." You know that God who made heaven and earth? That's the same God who loves you. That's the same God who made you. That's the same God who gives you life, breath, and all things. And that is the same God who is close to you. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Aren't you thankful that God made us with a desire to be close to Him? We should offer ourselves to Him. We have a great God who desires to be close to us, and therefore we should be close to Him. He is close to us. We should have a desire within us to be close to God. Jesus, do you know anything about being forsaken by earthly friends? I sure do. Paul, do you know anything about being forsaken by earthly friends? I sure do. "Everyone forsook me, but the Lord stood with me." Jesus, where did you go when your friends forsook you? "I went to my Father. He's close. I want to be close to Him." In John chapter 20, in verse number 17, Mary is clinging to Jesus, it seems, after seeing He's resurrected from the dead. And Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. I'm going to my Father." But there has to be a sense within each of us that that's exactly what we want to do. That we want to grab a hold of the Lord and we never want to let Him go. Trust in Him who will not leave you whatsoever life may bring. If you're forsaken by earthly friends, still more closely to Him cling. Where do you go in your toughest days? Who are you clinging to? Trust in a God who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. Even if you're forsaken by all your friends, cling to God. This morning in our Bible class, we looked at James chapter 4 and verse 8. I love that verse. The Bible says very plainly, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cling to Him closely. Don't let Him go. He will not change. He will not go anywhere. Well, here's the third stanza. The third stanza, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. I got tickled, this little inside information. So oftentimes I'll reach out to these different various song leaders and I'll say, are you available to lead songs Sunday? And they'll say yes or no. And what would you like, morning or evening? Do you have a preference, yes or no? And then some of the guys will send me their song list and I'll put them in. And that's just how it works. And so I asked Scott last week, I said, can you lead songs this Sunday? He said, sure. And I said, would you do Sunday night? Sure. And so he sends me his song list. And so he didn't know exactly what we were going to be doing, but he knew the title of the sermon was Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. And so in that song list, he sent it to me. And of course, that's the one he had before the lesson, which I appreciate very much. And in that, he said, let's do verses 1, 3, and 4. Well, I told him this morning what we were doing. He said, well, let's just do them all. I said, thank you. But he said verses 1, 3, and 4. You know that verse 3 most often is the forsaken verse. What do we often do? We'll do first, second, and last. All right? If it has four verses, first, second, and last. He threw me a curveball. He said, let's do first, third, and last. So I was all anticipating standing up here tonight saying, here's the forsaken verse. Here's the verse that we never seem to get to. And yet it has a really great message, doesn't it? Covet not this earth's vain riches. Vain, empty, worthless. Covet not the earthly vain riches. It goes back to verse 1. And what do I normally want to hold on to? What am I most interested in a lot? The vain riches of life. What occupies the most of your time? Well, work. Money, making money, paying my bills, all good things to do, right? Helping others in need. I want, I'm trying to accumulate, I'm trying to save, I'm trying to do this or that. We want to go here, we want to take that trip, we want to, whatever it is, we can spend a lot of time and we can wrap up a lot of energy in the vain riches of this world if we're not careful. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to have them. It's not wrong to have things. I'm not saying it's wrong in any way, shape, or form. But it can occupy a lot of our time and energy if we're not careful. That's why Jesus had so much to say about covetousness. That's why He knew that that was such a draw for us, that that temptation was going to be so real that He spent a lot of time talking against it. He said, be careful. In Luke chapter 12, that's where you find the parable of the rich fool. Mike alluded to this just recently, the rich fool. And you recall in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 21, after Jesus had said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And he goes on and he teaches this lesson and he says, so it will be with those who are not rich toward God. Covet not this earth's vain riches. I look to my right to these young people, here and there, and some over here. And I wish I could go back and talk to my younger self a little bit more sternly and remind my younger self that it really doesn't matter how much money you make in the end. It's good to have money. It's great. You have to support a family. You have to be able to pay your bills. But I wish I wouldn't have given it so much attention at one point in my life. Now, I'm a numbers guy. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here for a second. I'm a numbers guy, and I have an Excel spreadsheet every month that has our budget. Ask me how often I look at it. Every day. Every day. I love to look at that spreadsheet. I love to know where we're at. I love to know that we've got money. I like to know that the bills are going to get paid, right? That's part of my makeup. I do spend part of my day, every day, looking at that spreadsheet. But I think there's a difference in looking at a spreadsheet and seeing where you're at and having that be all that drives you. Be careful, because if we're not careful, it can be all that drives us. God is not going anywhere. He will make sure that we are taken care of. So we need to seek heaven's treasure. Seek heaven's treasure. Jesus says, seek the treasure that is not going to decay, that is not going to have broken into and stolen, that you cannot see decay or the moth eaten. Be careful about that which is going to burn in the end. Seek heaven's treasure. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. Your most valuable possession is what? Your soul within you. True success, living my life with God and going to heaven. That's all that matters in the end. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, here's the final verse. The final verse, verse number 4, we sang it just a moment ago. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory your enraptured soul will view. Now, don't get caught up in that word enraptured. It carries with it the idea of joy or exuberance. And one day, we're going to have joy in the presence of Jesus. One day, we are going to be in the presence of God, and they are singing a new song in heaven. And we look forward to being around the throne, singing and praising God for all eternity. But don't miss the if. If to God you have been true. Because, friends, there are only two choices. There, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there's a wide road that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow road that leads to life. And the wide road is the easy road, and that's the road that many people are going to travel, sadly. And there's a narrow road, and Jesus says it's actually a difficult road. And there are a few there are going to be who find it. But it leads where? It leads to life. If to God you have been true, if to God you have been true, then, it's an if then you can enjoy the view in heaven. Don't miss the if. Hold to God's unchanging hand, and heaven will be yours. Don't let go. He will get you home. I really like the imagery that I thought I was going to find on that gravestone and did not. But I like the imagery of that hand reaching down and our being able to grab a hold of it and Him lifting us up to be with Him. If to God you have been true, fair and bright, the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Brethren and friends, live for God's house. Live for God's house. Don't live for the vain riches of this life. Don't live for the day-to-day. In the struggles that you endure, the struggles that you go through, the struggles that you watch others endure, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to walk away. But there's no hope outside of Jesus. I never want to forget that. I want to go home to be with God. And so I close tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I think about the great promise that is made here to the people of God. Peter is writing to people who were suffering great persecution, people who had given thought perhaps to walking away from it all, people who thought about just throwing up their hands and saying, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it anymore. People are going through great difficulties and struggles. Franklin Island knew something about struggles. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, he says, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you did not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You may be grieved by various trials, but Peter's pleading with them. Don't let go of God's unchanging hand. Don't let go of God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal, not on the temporary. Hold to God's unchanging hand. May we be encouraged as we think about these words and great lessons that we can learn. Tonight, I don't know where you find yourself, but if you find yourself having kind of let go of his unchanging hand, and tonight you're ready to grab a hold of it again, know that he is there to build you up. As his people, we're here to encourage you, and if we can in any way, that's all we want to do. But tonight, my friend, if you find yourself outside of Christ, you can be saved tonight. You can grab a hold to the hand of the Lord, and he will forgive you of your sins, and you can be washed in his blood. Do you believe tonight that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to make that confession? Are you prepared tonight to repent of sin in your life and to be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away? You can rise, the Bible says, to walk in newness of life, hand in hand with the Lord all the way home. Can we help you tonight? Please come if we can, while together we stand and while we sing.